And coming back, dear listeners, as we obviously crossed over there between the our Ondangwa studio, specifically as you heard, Okundana Dingi just wrapping it up for the particular Wednesday session here in the number one Talkery station. And secondly, we actually step into and start into a particular talking point here on your number one Talkery station that before we start off with the home run, we actually have got some wonderful guests coming through from Goldstone Software Engineering Institute, specifically to once again have a lovely conversation with us. I'd firstly like to welcome both Tangeni and Aneria. But actually, Tangeni, you know, Aneria takes seniority, so she needs to answer first, you know, and then welcome once again, Aneria. For the first time, Tangeni, thank you for joining us. And obviously, Aneria, we are once again to have a exciting conversation about the latest particular developments coming through from Goldstone Software Engineering Institute. Before we start off, if you can just sort of like give us once again a short explainer before we get into our conversation, just in terms of, you know, where we find ourselves with Goldstone. The first particular question is obviously, what is Goldstone Engineering Software Engineering Institute, and what sets you apart from the other private institutions in the country? And specifically, that helps us to lay that foundation as we get through the conversation.
Okay. Good afternoon, listeners. My name is Aneria Mufalali, and I'm the Marketing and Communications Officer for Goldstone Software Engineering. So what is Goldstone and what sets us apart? Goldstone Software Engineering is an NQA-accredited institution of higher learning, and we are located in Windhoek West, Sauerbruch Street. We've been around for about 13 years, and we specialize in training the next generation of tech professionals. We also, what sets us apart is our strong focus on practical hands-on learning. While many institutions base their studies on theory, we believe students learn best by doing and being hands-on. We also run our own software development company so students can get to work on a real-world project and before they even graduate. Mm-hmm. So we're also one of the most affordable and flexible institutions in the country.
And before we, you know, we obviously get into further discussions, we've got to bring in Mr. Tangeni himself, you know, to also hear in terms of ultimately what he can share with the listeners as well as also with us. On your side, Tangeni, what programs or courses does Goldstone offer?
Good afternoon, listeners. So the courses that are offered at Goldstone Institution are a certificate and diploma in software engineering, information technology, business administration, human resource management, and human resource management. The duration for our courses is 1 year. This means that you study 1 year for a certificate or 1 year for a diploma.
And obviously, heading back over to you, Aneria, if we look at who are the ideal candidates in terms of that can or that want to join, because obviously anyone can join. Well, not anyone. There's a bit of a broad anyone. But for these particular programs that obviously that Tangeni just shared with us, who can join?
Well, our NQA accredited programs are open for anyone, actually, with a passion to learn and grow. Ideally, we're looking for candidates who have at least 10 points in 6 subjects, grade 10 old curriculum, or 16 points in grade 11 or 12 old or new curriculum. But even if someone doesn't meet those requirements, they can still get to start by enrolling in our foundational courses, which are designed to prepare them for further studies into our certificate and diploma studies as well. We also encourage mature age applicants, especially those who are 23 years and older. And of course, anyone looking to upskill or continue their education is very welcome at Goldstone.
And then heading back over to you, Tangeni, specifically for the next part, sort of like to help us understand, you know, what the admission requirements would be or what the admission process actually is like. So what can you share in that regard?
So it's very straightforward, actually. It's very straightforward, actually. You can apply online at www.goldstone.com.na or fill in an application form, scan it and send it to us, or come and drop it in person. Our application fee is $200 Namibian. You'll need your ID and your school results, either grade 10 old curriculum or grade 11 or 12 old or new curriculum, or your latest qualification from an accredited institution.
Back to you, Madam Aneria. Obviously, if we take a look at the advice component, and what particular advice would you give to someone listening right now who wants to study with Goldstone but doesn't know where to start specifically?
Well, the advice that I can give is that you can start by reaching out to us via our email address, which is admission@goldstone.com.na, or visit our website at www.goldstone.com, or you can call us on our landline, which is 061-234-186, 061-234-186, or send us a WhatsApp message or call us on 081-6576-365. Or just come to our campus. We are free to help you. We'll walk you through your options and help you check your eligibility and even assist with applications as well. You also don't have to figure it out alone, because we're here to help you. So this is the first step in showing interest, and we'll support you from there.
And back to you, Mr. Dankini. If we take a look at what support does Goldstone offer to help students succeed academically and personally?
So we're deeply committed to our students' success. We offer academic support, mentoring, regular check-ins, and flexible learning options for those with work or family responsibilities. The lecturers are approachable, and they keep the class sizes small to make sure each student receives personal attention and guidance.
And then to conclude our particular discussion, Madam Aneria, just to look at the particular aspect about ongoing promotion activities, are there any such particular wonderful communication, specifically as in ongoing promotions, open days or deadlines that prospective students should know about?
Yes, there are. Our applications are currently open, and we encourage students to apply as soon as possible to secure their spot. We also have an ongoing refer and earn program where current students or alumni can refer new applicants and earn rewards. And also our application or registration is ending on the 28th of July. So we encourage all people that are interested in studying with Goldstone to hurry up and apply with us.
And on that specific note, just before we actually, end up, we're going to take a short break, dear listeners. And actually, after the break, we will still continue with the lovely conversation. And this time, it'll be held in Oshawambo, just for all prospective students to have a good listen and also engage in terms of taking down the contact details and be able to contact Goldstone today. On that note, we'll be back right after this.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Impact? Get all exclusive features for just $36 Namibian a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurani ingeni ogwa pungwa eva tere ngeko ni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno mweko tete okoye ekukulile. Oshafa fana nongeshefa ili mehola mo iho etike ko vano ile ko shuwa. Kono ngeshefa ya pungwa kukaraya ko vano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebito da njoka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda do inawa. Minuto otukwetira o special ange. Kashia kengeje pa omarude kayo loka. Okumu ushengi finawa nukumuna oijabweli nawa. Inge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM. Onora itatuime mbali hea vi nola natu. Heali bari no heali ineko berewa. Mura hetatu natu bari o hetatu matatu. Oma filane Eagle FM. The eye. Lipura mingi ni wapo ywa eva tere uliko ni mando tuto ingida Ashike kapena uwe kutete opo uwe ekukulile Oshafafana nongeshefa ili mehola mo Iho etike kovano ile koshuana Konongeshefa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna ebi toda njuka Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa Minuto otukwetira o special ange Kashia kengeshefa omarude kayo loka Okumi ushengi finawa nukumuna oijabweli nawa Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM Onora itatuime mbali hea vi Nola natu heali bali no heali Ineko derewa Mura hetatu natu Bali o hetatu matatu Oma filane Eagle FM The Eye
Yeah, apa tunapone Ova longi voshiputu dirosho Goldstone Software Engineering Me mina natate Blasius. So o Goldstone Software Engineering Institute oshike nana no shike she yolo la koiputu jiro ikwao. Me mina.
Oh my lepo na washwana. Oh edina lange ngashila jano kutumbulwa. Na me mina Sakaria nda jakoshiputu jiro sho Goldstone Software Engineering. Epulo tali cho Goldstone A Goldstone Software Engineering Institute yoshike nana no shike she yo la koi putu dilo ikwao. Okucho Goldstone Software Engineering osputu dilo shopombada ashiangi kamo windu kuesta mepanda nda lo saubrach. Osputu dilo shapewa epitiki lo shianje hongo lo pombada ko NQA, Namibia Qualification Authority, ei hai unga unga ne ngushu dejapo. Goldstone nina ita meka shike neudo, Oyakala kwa kuja na le edula omulongo na natudaka pita, no tuapsoko kamo kuya njano kude ulila oshiwana shoko mongula, mo udemokoli, o unangeshefa, no shoyo heichara, oyo inasha, no kuya nja oilonga, o shoyo kuunga ungano mana ilonga. Esi shayolo la shiputu jilo shetu kui kwao, ai sheo shesho shina mbili haelela, sheo hatua nje unongo pendo dodo kukala wa deukila oilonga moshilongo, no shoyo kukala wa okata meka ungeshefa oe, Sheli kole lako unongo uwe likola okudili la meri hongo moshino shiputu jilo shetu.
Ya, yeah, tangyo nene memina. Epulola landula kotariti, otoduru okulilongela shike koshipu didilo sha Goldstone.
Mo Goldstone otoduru okulilongela ojapo yondodo nine, oyo atucho level 4, osho yondodo ninanu o level 5, moi hongwa tayi landula. Business Administration and Management, Human Resources Management, Information Technology, Oshoyomo Software Engineering. Oyo yapewa manga epitikilo okuja ko NQA, no tuli menji dikila dokupewa yova ili ufemba, mendo dodayo lokanga shio ulongi no shoyo upangi na ikwa oyawe dropo. Endo dodetu onine noni nano, odina odula imwe, nonge enge otoji kwa telekumwe, ouna kukala wafikola edula mbaji.
Okay, ondwe tengo kuchane enyamukulo lola ela. Epulola andura kotariti, veli pipo vate lelika okukala vahadeka koshipu didiro sha Goldstone. Memina?
Nga shinana ndate tekelano kupopsa kucha oshipu didiro shetu oshapewa ufemba oku anja eli hongolo pombada. Endo domo shipu didiro daye ulukila keshe umwe, ou ena oho kwe kuri honga no kuyako mesho. Nona ndeunga ho, ohatu kongo wabana fikola ababena oitwa omulongo, mondodo ni mulongo no ni mulongo na mbali, momufindolongo o ukulu. Oshoyo ababena omulongo na hamano, mondodo oni mulongo na imwe, momufindolongo o upe. Nongenge kapu kuna posha pwayo, ndajano kutumbula, na ave ino pate wakonje. Otodulu oku hadekela mendodo do hatu anje dili menile imwe dihamano, odo hatu ifana kucha e short kosesa. Nenge tukupe eta mekolo, tali duluo kukuyambulapo, ulilongele ojapo yoye, mendo dodayo oloka.
Yeah, thank you, Nene Memina. Prefer Otuka Ndengo Kutate Blasius. Tate Blasius, ano etuanku monenge ewe depo liripi tohange kukeshe umwe, tohange kukeshe umwe, te kupu ikinene na ou ahala oku kafikola ndelekeshi apata tamekele.
Okay, tangi kwa mito. Edina jan jonga shina na yatumburwa hono. Blasius. Gandri omlongi kosiputi doroshono sha gostona gandri o natango nironga tandirongere kombere wanjuru mtakumite hipopikucha it's a software development etonkumo ndinashaka maisho mbono ya hara kuirongera ko siputi doroshono sha gostona shoshino kucha emitoko dirilera dokuironga kosiputi doroshetu shono uno kuningo kuhikeke panja yetu yo dono tuna to Google ike ida pa matorong isongo diho eh ni ngotorong isango ngot diho chinda to turama ike o www.gosto.com/na de to tarako koshike ke panjaje tunge ngwa tarapo mbadda mio pena na na kucha admission Shawa clicking up mono peno ka drop down a keri poka ka imatake kufara pe take etapo e option a dimi dripo ngwe to clicking ane kucha apply online shawa hi mono to vro ku apply online ni he pa mwengi nge ito vro ku apply online na to kusana ndo to download diga ko ofo ma hetu hono nde to hi adeki nde to heta nando po shiputu tino shidu ko po indu quest Natango to duruo, natango kutu kwa takasana natango kepanja ke yetu yoko WhatsApp. Genge pwa mwito vuro kwe yako kepanja, nenge pwa mwito vuro kwe yako kukoskora. Tango to vuro kutu kwa takasana natango kepanja yetu yoko WhatsApp. Kwa nomora tahira ndurahmano, ondurano he tatu noimwe, hamano no nano, oheali no hamano, ondatu no hamano no nano. Nenge pwa mwenge ngo unashuwe ere umuwaro kuwa kuse, to vurunga natango kutu kwa takasana natango ko Nomora hopa mberewa, onora no haman no himwe, ombali no ndatu, one no himwe, ohetatu no haman.
Okay, thank you nene. Zete kucha epulolo laera. Okay, oponane avata waka karavara ngoku ishangifa mo goldstone. Oshike nana shapumbiwa opo onu atambure mo goldstone. Tete blasius?
Unenesha chapumbiwa mano upu ukare watamburuwa mogosto na mono ono karawa uvitha oforo majono yetu njono ndapo pia nare kuchotovro kuhadha ke panja yetu nenge tovro kukarawa kwa tasana na seko kongo njono ndapo pia mono ko whatsappa ndetahi tuhi kutumine ndetohu uvitha weto hetane kwa skor opaike hono tovro kukarawa Oshweko chima tovuru karawa tupa pumbare la opo nu. Ukare wa ningashiki, ukare wa taburu wa mawesh putu tereshetu. Uno karawa uvitha oforo manjo. Opo ne shane uvitha ne oforo mane. Topu mbi opo ne ukare wa futa ne odora. Mathirigeri gali. Ngono go shiki go foro mane. Tasoforo mahae futiru wane wa mathirigeri gali. Wapumbwa no kukarawa nane. Onzapo dhohe. Okanze kweko shirongo, nenge pwa mwuna urongire umwa wedhapo, nima mjono wapumbwa na kukarawa ininga ne e-copy, ndeto I karane ilidera pesha. Ongengo una ne onza pati mweza wedhapo, na dhikare ne dhili ilidera dha ningashike dha shangiswa ne kukoshi ya kushetusho NQA. Kajike onza po kesha. Na ikare haa kuchwa waha... I register now to contact you to NTA.
Okay, thank you, Nene Tate Blasius. Etumara kalala ndurako, otashi, otari purane kucha, oshi putitiro, o ashi anje, oma kwa fongeipi, oposhi kwa fele, ova nafikora, vafindane mo uhongelwe, wavo, osho pa umwene wavo. Osho yo pa umwene wavo.
Kogosto nani, utatara ni kembi nga adhishe. Ucho no harongo, ucho ni harongo. Ucho waere tuwe te atuganja ekosa de tu. Nando no harongo, tafuro kukarata taka skora kwa nima oho washike hironga ketimba hironga ngenga zimbuka tavuro kukara natango tate dingo skwa kukuna noho natango mpano ngengi tavuro natango kukara afika po posiputi droshetu natango tavuro kukara atendika etu ndi the tunga shimono hapithana mwera kaji tuyo shingiri sabapambira wakucha it's online classes yeah.
Okay, pohuini nelera, memina, omaritambulifo, okwa paturuka.
Henu, eshi atupovipo, paife fimbo, omaritambulifo natango okwa paturuka. Keshe omunafukola eno hoko yokulihonga, yokukala elihonga nashe, nelitambulife manga pena efimbo, osheshe omaritambulifo etu ajun julae, ota ahulumo milongo mbalina etatu, omwejou. Otodulu okututumina omunafikola umwe, nenge babali, ndele toli monene epelese nda omulongo, ko imaliwa ya weo registration, oyo haikala, 180, ilwe feno milongo etatu ndiche, keshe ko muhongwa wanja. Ngeno kucho tunapo o promotion, kuchangengo etu referring ilo muhongwa, atu kupekweho epelese nda dili omulongo ko imaliwa ya weo registration, oyo haikala ya ferino milongo ya tatu. 10% of
1.8. Okay. Jino, kwari o shiputudiro sio Goldstone Software Engineering Institute, varine vea okueta oma oyelele, va udanekengo ava vala kutameka oi hongolavo no shiputudiro eshi. Tupanduru nene tate Blasius na memina.
Tapandula unene, kundiro ipo shuana, efikuna di mwaya mbekewe.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device, you can tune into Namibia's number one talk radio station by downloading the Eagle FM app on the Google Play Store or on the Apple App Store. Download the Eagle FM app to tune into live Eagle FM programming or to listen to podcasts of previous broadcasts. Eagle FM, Namibia's number one talk radio station.
Great news! Impact just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Ingo? Get all exclusive features for just $36 a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3-month subscription, 10% discount for 6-month subscription, and 25% discount for 12-month subscription. Choose the plan that works best for you and start enjoying everything Imba has to offer at an unbeatable price. Imba, where the world congregates. Download it and subscribe today.
Ipurani ingeni wapungwa eva tere uliko ni mando tuto ingida ashike kapeno mwepo tete okoe ekukulile. Oshasa fana nongeshe feli mehola mo ihewe kike kovano ile koshuana. Kono ngeshe fwa ya pungwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka. Okupitira oipindi konu konda doi nawa. Minuto otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fwa omarude kayo loka. Otone ushe ingife nawa nukumuna oijawiri nawa. Ninge pata fanona monika ko Eagle FM. Onmura itatimwe bali hea bi nola natu hea li bali no hea ineko berewa. Mura hetatu natu bali o hetatu hatatu oma felane Eagle FM. Bipa.
Eagle FM lets you express your constitutional rights of freedom of expression without fear of failure.
This is actually, to put it mildly, an economic scandal.
Fraud.
Not a fraud, it's a scandal.
Scandal.
Why do you give a tender to somebody who knows does not have capacity to build. Why should you do that? You know a person who does not have the capacity to build.
Eagle FM lets you talk.
That's why I'm always telling people in Parliament, let me not take up my candidature menace.
Right.
Because I grew up in candidature.
Uh-huh.
And I will not hesitate to tell you off if it is needed to do.
Be part of the debate by setting the agenda.
My response in terms of Rwanda at 6% is that we had been there before. We've had 6% growth before.
Mm.
It's not something that Namibia has not achieved in the past.
Mm.
And it's not something that Namibia will not be able to achieve in the future.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Get social with us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. Our handle is Eagle FM Namibia.
Eagle FM, the eye.
Good afternoon and welcome to Home Run. That's with Helmut and Dwight, as always, your drive time show. And we're here until the hour of 6. And we usually start at 4:30, but, we had to pay the bills with the interview from Goldstone that you just, listened to. From now until the hour of 6, of course, we are just going to proceed with a Home Run as usual. Bringing you some updates from different reports, both local and international. And this one is more global, the one that we have for you today, as it relates to the drought patterns that has been, that was recorded. I don't want to say that have been observed because, we live on a planet that is having, has more like mood swings when it comes to weather, where it's basically switching from cold to hot, some places extremely hot, some places extremely cold, with some places, flooding. Although the specific condition that more like a climate condition that we are going to be, that's going to dominate today's discussion here on Home Run, is one of drought as recorded by the United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification from 2023 to 2025. That's in collabo of National Drought Mitigation Center. That's a University of Nebraska. That's the U.S. And you have IDRA, International Drought Resilience Alliance. I don't know about resilience when it comes to drought. What they basically did is they compiled a report of the droughts that were, that were observed. Because drought does not only impact people, it basically impacts anything that is living because water is needed. And one thing that's known, every time that the first thing that comes to everyone's mind when we hear the word drought, not a draft, that's sometimes it can easily be mispronounced as it's the English language rules, and leave me alone. So drought is basically leads to the lack of water, and the report covers everything to covers all kinds, not just the Namibian, how it affects Namibia, but basically regions of the world, and it's split in different regions, or from Africa to Europe to the US, Asia, US, that's a country, North, South America to Asia. I know.
Not South America, ne?
South America, North America, Asia, so.
Do you know what's the interesting thing about abbreviations for South America and South Africa?
Oh dear.
That's why you can never say SA.
In reference to
South Africa.
South Africa.
You have to say RSA or you have to say ZAR. Why?
Amen.
Why?
Because that can also be South America.
No, the SA is South America. In official abbreviation, SA stands for South America.
RSA.
So you have to say either Republic of South Africa or you have to say ZAR.
What's the Z for? Z Republic of South Africa?
There is another scenario if you say SAR, because on South Africa's, you've seen that bumper sticker on a car.
Yeah.
If a South African car has that bumper sticker on, it always says ZA. It's because, not just the South America reason, but there's another country that also has the SA. So South Africa has to go for ZAR or ZA. Fun facts.
Abbreviations. Oh, yeah, fun facts. So, drought is observed by the United Nations.
Mm.
Yeah, that's the, you know, is observed by the United Nations, where there's a United Nations Convention to Combat Desertification. Mm. Okay, that desertification, it's the is more like the expansion of, more like the expansion or the creation of deserts as you get rid of trees thanks to consumption.
Yeah.
That's what it means, right? Because I'm picking desert from desertification, turning a green area into a desert.
Well, it could also be a multitude of things. Remember our discussion the other day where we were trying to have the clean cooking conversation.
Yeah.
Remember? Desertification is also tied towards rural communities that need firewood. Or it could be an aspect of, you know, agriculture just being nasty.
Practiced on a large scale.
Yeah, and then they go and commit, what's that thing's name? Deforestation. Because the first steps of desertification is first you clear out forests.
Yeah.
And then obviously you bring in your animals that graze and then they overgraze, meaning carrying capacity.
Yeah.
They overgraze on the land, which is now strip or bare or barren from trees. And then you eat up all, what you call it, all small plant life. The biggest thing that I've heard once was, a conversation.
Then the soil, topsoil is exposed to wind, which blows all the surface soil that carries all the nutrition for the plants, and the plants can't grow anymore.
Exactly. Or it converts, multiple things happen to the topsoil, which is the fertile soil.
Yeah.
The topsoil either gets blown away by wind, meaning it causes dust storms later on.
Yeah.
Or it washes away because it's exposed. There's no plant root system that's holding it together. If anyone ever wants to see the difference between soil that doesn't have plants and soil that has plants in it, the clearest example you'll always see is firstly drainage. Second, you will see how tightly packed the soil is around the plant.
Yeah.
What happens is a plant and its root system literally
holds the soil in place.
Yeah, it's like an anchor. But instead of you thinking about the soil anchoring the plant is the one anchoring the soil. Because what a plant does with its roots, it tries to grow where it can find nutrients.
Mm-hmm.
And as it does that, it anchors itself into the soil. The soil becomes more compact.
So it's a mutual benefiting.
Exactly. The exercise actually helps the soil, which gradually then helps an area leads to a community or an environmental peace.
Mm-hmm.
And so you then can cascade things up to find biodiversity, meaning plant life, insect life, animal life, and so it goes on. So it's one of the founding discussions, and the reason why desertification, or this convention from the UN, desertification and drought is such a serious thing, because they, besides talking about basic conservation elements, at the heart of everything regarding climate change is obviously there's something that happens on the ground that is firstly started by humans. And most of it has to do with agriculture. In many cases, it has to do with agriculture.
Yeah, we have always, obviously all throughout the history of our species, we have always had this change in climatic conditions.
Mm.
But, I think, the weighing of the options between the benefits and the disadvantages of, the disadvantages of the resources that we, because, how do I put this? The overconsumption, because I think we are reaching a point where we are, we're chewing through the resources to the point where, the resources is obviously sustainable.
Yeah.
Now, programs like the desertification is one that points towards the hard reality that if we just keep consuming without working on a way to make room for the resources to replenish, we're going to run out one day.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be a good sign. And we have seen this, in the fishing industry. Resources do run out. And we've seen the, I think this, you know, the perfect example for this will be the extractive industry. We have a lot of open pit mines that are out of resources, of which the resource has been exploited. And then now there's just a giant open pit out there. And this, you find this all across the planet. You know, resources is discovered, it's exploited, and unfortunately, we are dealing with finite resources. It's not infinite. Mm. That's one thing Thanos was right about. The resources is finite and everything is finite. So let me just snap my finger and get rid of half of you guys. You poor things. Now, what...
I don't know why we went for an Avengers reference here, but well, you are right, Hamad. You are philosophically right.
Yeah. You know, so...
On a philosophic basis.
No, I'm just saying Thanos and philosophy in the same sentence is awesome. Yeah. So, we have to start weighing our the way that we consume these resources and, and the time that it needs to replenish. I think this is where I think we can actually learn a lot from nature. Look at animal migration, for example.
Mm.
Animal migration is something that's actually beautiful to watch because wild animals migrate with seasons. Birds do the same things. Fish do the same things. They all do the same things.
Yeah.
There's a place where they spend most of the winter, and there's a place where they spend most of the summer. So by the time that they're spending, they go to their winter place, their summer place is replenishing. By the time that they come back to that place, their winter place is replenishing. So you have this cycle of basically giving, giving each, I think that's where we got types of grazing, like rotational grazing, for example, and crop rotation, for example. So you have to plant in one hectare while leaving one side of the hectare of your field, nutritional wise, at least to replenish, or more like you have to bring in rehabilitation methods in terms of nutrition for that soil. So at this point, because it's not rocket science. If we just say, just get rid of all the regulations. So, everyone just go out there and cut any plant that you want for your resources. One thing that's going to happen is we're going to wake up one day and realize, now we don't have trees, so what do we do?
Then you realize you don't have animal life in your vicinity. Then you go like, how? No, firstly, you'll recognize that there are no animals anymore. Not the trees.
Yeah, not the trees or the animals. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, you'll first recognize there are no animals in the area. And that'll be the first sign that tells anyone, okay, something is wrong here. And then people will come and say, yeah, you don't have trees. You don't have small shrubs or bushes. There might be limited animals left in the vicinity. But it'll be one of the first particular signs or signals that people will pick up on. Firstly, no animals in present or in the vicinity. Many cases also animals are not present where there's a large enough presence of humans. Wild animals, as we know, try to stay away from human areas or human frequented human zones. This can even be footpaths, roads, stuff like that. They will know there are humans there. If you ask me even today how they would know, don't worry, guys. There's something known as body odor. The animals can smell you kilometers away.
Yeah.
On a wind, they can smell you kilometers away.
Literally kilometers away.
If anyone does not know, be careful of wild dogs and hyenas. They know where you are. Actually, a bear. Do you know how dangerous it is for a bear to know where you are? In North America, Hamut, they teach, like these survival guys.
Yeah.
Never be downwind of a bear.
Because it's a bad idea.
No, never be upwind from a bear. Meaning, whatever you're doing, even if that bear is like a kilometer away, that bear will.
So, you've got everything sorted for tomorrow?
Yeah, man. Meat, spice, poikis ready. Even got some playlists lined up, bro.
And the crew? They're all coming, right?
Awe, everyone's in. It's gonna be lekker.
Wait, wait, wait. What about the tassies?
Bruh,
you can't get without tassim, bruh. It's like cabana without salsa, dog. Tassimberg. Best together. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Want to know about Namibia's latest business and economic news? Then look no further than the Villager newspaper. The Villager is an e-paper that is published every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday for free, directly to your phone or computer. To become a subscriber, simply send a WhatsApp message with your number and email address to 081-200-4144. Be sure to save the phone number as a contact. The Villager, wherever you are.
Welcome back. It's 16 past the hour of 5. If you just joined us, you're listening to Home Run with Helmut and Dwight on Eagle FM. And today's subject is desertification. Not desertification per se. The global report that is that was observed on the on how, you know, drought-stricken areas all across the planet for, from a period of 2023 to 2025. And this is, I mean, this was a global analysis. That's one thing that makes it, you know, one thing that makes it awesome. So finish the bear story, then we can continue.
Yeah. So when, if people, you know, I'm not saying go and become Bear Grylls, because it was also slightly proven how he's a little bit, he himself is a little bit of a fraud. Specifically, you know, apparently he's trying to teach people through his show, how to live off nature.
Yeah.
And then in between the filming scenes, he's busy having a burger on the side with his cameraman. And you just go like, nah.
Well, look, there's one thing about, living, in nature that we don't talk about. It's very, you know, I know every time that we want to talk about how masculine, you know, our ancestors were, we like to talk about it in positive light. You know, these were the guys that went there hunting and, you know, they brought, they brought meat and all these resources to their families.
Mm.
You do realize sometimes they got eaten, right?
They were exposed
to
the elements.
Dino, look, well, history is written by the victor. Let's just face the reality on the ground. Sometimes.
I don't think lions and bears and tigers were writing any scripts about conquest. All they could prove to their families was like, look guys, I brought dinner.
I brought dinner. That's someone's ancestor. Now, look. Living off of nature is a very good thing, but I think we innovated out of that for a reason. Because, well, it has its ups and downs. Sometimes, you know, the hunter brought back a lion. Sometimes the lion took home the hunter. And, that was a mutual understanding in terms of the food chain. But, well, we just decided, you know what, we can't go on like this. So we decided to, you know, let institutions do the
institutional work.
You know, institutions bring the food to our grocery stores, then we can just get it from there. Much more safe, you know, don't have to hunt as long as you have the money. So, desertification now. One of the things that's basically covered in this that I found interesting is that it does not only impact our food security, it also does spill over into our energy security, especially hydroelectricity.
No, it does. It completely does.
Yeah.
One of the obvious, I actually, Helmut, want to sort of like zone in on a discussion, here within our talk specifically, because in that global drought report, they reference food security scenario, which has been some of the particular talking points in Namibia, which also stems from a report recently that the Prime Minister had to do in Parliament. The week before. So Prime Minister Ngurare gave a feedback and announced that the drought relief program had come to an end at end of June, but it was partially extended for certain parts of the country into August. certain parts of the country. Now, the drought relief scheme is obviously based upon drought impact or drought occurring. What they literally signaled, or what he signaled there, was specifically that drought relief was based upon how do you look after the human population without having to technically look after the nature that the human population lives in. Now, guess how the looking after the humans materialized?
Yeah.
A whole bunch of elephants were culled, a whole bunch of eland, blue wallabies, which is technically a kind of a buffalo-ish thing, a buffalo, hippo, and there was no kudu. There was kudu. Were culled in certain, also in certain areas of the country's national parks. And specifically, these were food parcels and packets organized to the stricken, what you call it?
Drought-stricken areas.
Of the regions in the country.
Yeah.
Now, setting that particular scene, right? The global drought, the global hotspots drought report, it sort of like just glosses over what we saw materialize in Namibia. Even though we and another country, I think it was us in Botswana or us in Zimbabwe, that had to cull some wildlife. The answer to culling wildlife is literally the most counterproductive answer I've ever heard in my life. Do you know why? That natural that wild animal
yeah.
has evolved to survive drought in Namibia. I'll say it again. That animal has evolved to survive drought in Namibia.
It's not really counterproductive if you are looking at it from a Kapana standpoint.
No, but that's exactly the thing. Because what do you need for biodiversity to survive? Meaning for trees and desertification not to become present. You need wild animals and their droppings.
Yeah.
And their urine. And their way of grazing from certain grass, certain plant species to help maintain that area, that specific area, to thrive and to still exist.
Yeah, and you also have pollination in the process.
Exactly.
With the movement of the animals.
Exactly.
And the spreading of seeds from one place to another.
Exactly. The microorganisms that have to break down either dead animal and plant matter or animal waste, like animal fecal matter,
yeah.
in terms of working it into the ground, into the soil to rejuvenate the soil. So, to highlight a particular statement, because there's a whole bunch of Namibians, I'm sorry if you're in the rural communities. I'm really sorry. But the downside is, if you don't know how to look after yourself, and you're living in a part of the bush in Namibia, and you don't have your own, what's the word, livestock or means to survive, the first particular question that we've got to critically analyze here is, why are you living in a zone where you might be prone to certain environmental hazards? Because drought is an environmental hazard.
And that's like saying, why are you living in Southern Africa?
Yeah, which is the whole of Southern Africa.
Yeah.
Or why are you below the equator?
Yeah.
Which is the whole of Southern Africa.
Drought. I mean, we have drought for breakfast.
Yeah. And then, obviously, we also now have been observing since the start of the year, Helmut, the anomalies with regards to the rainfall in Namibia. I mean, even just last night. Oh, not last night, this morning.
Mm-hmm.
I wake up, it rained that side of Windhoek. This side of Maruamo. But when I got here to the studio, it was completely dry. It was as dry as sandpaper, as the sandpaper was produced, or as you buy it in the shop, in the hardware shop. Not a drop of anything. You don't even get that rain smell this side in Klein Windhoek. But it rained just on the other side of the hill. Now, I don't know if it rained in any other parts of Windhoek, like Kommersdal or Karatura or the informal settlements as well. Because it was a complete anomaly. And once again, these clouds are back. So the overall discussion of climate change feeds into the weird haphazard rainfall discussion that we are continuously seeing. The hotspots report cites, okay, they cite the drought parts. Yeah. They cite the negatives of the one side of climate change, meaning soaring heat, diminishing rainfall, water resources running dry, because they cited what happened to Zambia and, is it Zambia and Zimbabwe?
There's a whole list in, you know, there's a whole list in Southern Africa. You have, but Zambia is highly emphasized in terms of power generation because, we've been talking about this for a while and how they were the first, they were the first last year to declare drought as a state, you know, to the level of state of emergency. And then we followed shortly after. And because we get some of our energy from them, I think we are, largely because we are, you know, paying customers, they had to implement a load shedding in their country because of the drought, the water levels in some of their perennial water sources where they generate the hydroelectricity from also dropped. That translated into the drop in also water current that helps drive the turbines that helps with the electricity generation. So the faster, obviously that's not rocket science. The faster the turbines run, or the higher the current, the faster the turbines run, the more electricity they produce.
Yeah.
So the lower the lower the levels, and now let's follow this from the beginning. The higher the water levels, the higher the current, the faster the turbine is going to spin, the more electricity you have. Now, in terms of a drought, for example,
that water level drops.
Yeah, the water level drops.
The water flows slower.
The water flows slower. And then the turbine also turns slower and less electricity is produced.
Mm.
So it's a chain reaction.
It is. It actually shows you the two opposites of the chain reaction.
Yeah.
Because even if it's in a discussion of, let's say, there was excessive rainfall, what then do you do if there's just too much water for the turbine to make use of? And what sometimes happens is that some dams, they have to open up the floodgates earlier so as that the dam wall doesn't crack and break and to relieve pressure. Because remember, a dam wall is like a retainer wall.
Mm-hmm.
It holds back a volume of water up to a certain point, up to a point. Someone has to go like, you know what, guys, unless you're the one that wants to go and climb down that crack to seal it back up, the unfortunate thing is we will have to, just
open up the floodgates.
Exactly.
Like these are literal, floodgates. So, leads to what we, what we saw was that earlier this year. Yeah. What we saw this year when people, I assume they, decided to leave off work early or just didn't show up for work so they can go and watch the floodgates being opened for water to flow out of a dam. I was like,
are you talking about the guys here in Windhoek?
People went there to go and watch water flow. Now, as someone from Kabanga, I was like, okay, so.
I also couldn't think. I was like, I drove around, was like this block, and then I saw everyone accumulating on the bridge. Yeah. I was like, okay, what's the fuss? You know, is there a real crime element?
No.
Just to hear, no, the...
Yeah, opening floodgates.
I'm like...
You know, want to watch water flow.
Oh, my goodness.
Like, I grew up swimming in there, so I'm going to work.
Oh, my goodness. I was even going like, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I think basically every structure has architectures or engineers call structural integrity. That means it can only hold the capacity, a certain level in terms of capacity. Then, it starts to compromise, the structure if it goes beyond that in terms of load. If the water levels are too high to the point where it's looking like any more of it, it's going to spill over and flood the neighboring communities, you have to open the floodgates so that you can basically spill the water in a controllable way. But before we continue, commercial break.
That iconic taste of Heineken, loved in Germany, Amsterdam, Argentina, and Namibia. That crisp and balanced taste of Heineken. Loved around the world. Enjoy that refreshing thirst. Ah, only made possible by Heineken's unique 5-star credentials. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
My friend, why do you seem so worried?
Ace, I am planning an event for next weekend, eh? And I don't know how to best get people to hear about it.
Saima, don't worry about those small things. Contact Eagle FM today. Eagle FM has a dedicated team that can travel anywhere countrywide to broadcast live at any event, such as a promotion, organizational launch, anniversary, wedding, funeral, political or traditional and church events, and basically any event that you wish to broadcast on a national level. Call them now and talk to Monica at 081-270-3727 or the office number 083-288-400. Eagle FM, the eye.
No matter where you are, if you have a mobile device.
Welcome back. Where were we? Opening the floodgates, or as they were called, sluice gate or slice grip, you know, gate. I was hungry sluice. There. And what?
Sluice. In Afrikaans, we call it slicer.
Slicer, like bread slicer?
Slicer.
Oh, like Lois is slicer.
That is on you, Helmut.
Sorry, Lois.
If Lois hears that, that is on you, Helmut.
Yeah, you know, I don't like cooking here these days because if she cooks me, you know, she won't buy one, I'll not understand a thing. So I like to be nice, but have a few snitches that will translate it for me. But anyway, so what you're basically looking at is not just a food security element. It's also an energy security element. All that is coming from one environmental factor, that is drought. And flood basically have the same effect. Because too much water is just as bad. Because like you pointed out, it causes a lot of destruction. Like we saw the flood, was that last month in Texas? Man, that was bad.
Do you know, Helmut, how quickly they flooded?
I have no idea.
45 minutes. But you should see the video.
The water levels rising.
It was now sped up, the video speed.
Yeah.
Helmut, it looked like a dam had burst, but if you read...
People that were making videos on bridges had to basically realize that this bridge is not going to...
This bridge is not our savior. Yeah. Because literally the amount of water that was... And remember, the water that showed up at that town that flooded was water from higher, you know, upriver.
Upstream.
In terms of it being at a higher altitude.
Yeah.
So it was apparently a whole bunch of water fell there and it was busy flowing down like this.
Because the ground was not absorbing it fast enough.
Not just the ground. This has been one of the issues that they discovered, for example, in places like the UK. UK rivers are a threat to communities. Because what they did in the 1800s, remember they went and built those concrete riverbanks.
On the sides. Oh.
And then they obviously channeled the whole water through the whole rivers, you know, through the whole town.
Yeah.
But the moment that an excessive amount of rainfall flows, the first thing that happens, because remember the rain also falls on the inside of the town.
Yeah.
So your storm drains, which are the outlets for all that rainfall, all that fresh water, leads to the same river.
Oh.
It's not like City of Windhoek where it leads to a collection facility.
Like a catchment area of some sort.
City of Windhoek calls it something else, but it is a catchment area, like you call it, but it's literally a dam that channels this water through to that facility because Windhoek needs water for so many uses. So they try to keep drinking water separate from everyday application water. That's why you were sometimes told at certain places, don't drink from the tap because that's water not meant for human consumption.
Yeah.
At certain places, certain public places.
Yeah.
Now, go to the Northern Hemisphere, to these developed countries. The downside was, if you look at those videos of that place, I keep forgetting that town's name in Texas that flooded. Helmut, you could see the water do this. The excessive amounts of water.
Yeah.
Now, as it's moving, you just see the river level rise.
The level's rising like crazy.
Because the people were busy having a braai, literally on the riverbank, because it was most of the Independence Day celebration in the US, 4th of July.
Yeah.
So they were busy braaiing. And now remember, it's a meandering river. So if people don't remember the geographies about meandering rivers, a meandering river is a river that makes that S formation.
Zigzag, yeah.
Yeah, that it's a zigzag, or it looks like a massive snake if you stand from far,
mm-hmm.
but it's known as a meandering river.
Yeah.
So it's a meandering river, and all the people remember is how quickly the water level rose. And then it started in the one place where the guys were busy praying on the riverbank, no? Because it was just grass.
Yeah.
Because there was a drone up in the air. This was someone's drone recording. All they saw is just how the water just started flowing.
Rising like,
No, but it first did this very
like
quickly.
Ripples.
Yeah. It first did like this like quickly and started, you know, they felt the sogginess. And then the huge body of water that's busy pushing all that water in front shows up.
It's basically a tsunami of natural, of fresh water.
Inland, even.
That's odd. I mean, if someone tells you there's gonna be a tsunami inland, it would be like, wait,
for
what?
Helmut, for a river to rise from river level, 6 meters high.
In minutes.
In 45 minutes. How much water was that?
How much rain was that?
That's what I'm saying. How much rainfall was that? 6 meters of air, of water from the river level. It rose 6 meters high.
Now, as someone that was born and raised next to a river, I can tell you that type of raising takes months.
No, it does.
It takes months to reach that level.
No, it does.
Yeah, so it's, now for it to take like 45 minutes, that really is force majeure. But if there's one country that is, I think, that's admired in terms of, in terms of dealing with flood in the very, I think in somewhat the same way that, the Finnish are admired in terms of, the way they build their education system is the Netherlands in what is, what they call, storm surge barriers. They are actually world renowned to be very good at controlling flood because, the whole country is very, is very low, like in terms of, in terms of below sea level.
Yeah.
In terms of elevation. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's very low. So the Dutch government then had to come up with a very sophisticated method of how to, in the event of a flood, how do you channel water in a way that you channel it away from, from a place where they have their, the infrastructure, or more like the people, whether it's agriculture or just the residential areas, industrial areas or urban areas where they don't want to, the water to go. They build some giant mechanical, it's a giant piece of infrastructure. If you can just storm surge barriers, Netherlands, you're going to see them.
Mm.
And it's a basically genius piece of engineering.
Are you talking about the dikes?
Is it the dikes? I don't know if they are called the dikes.
It looks like a riverbank.
But
they built a road on it. It's so big. Is that the storm surge barriers?
Yeah. Now this giant piece of metals, in the event of a flood, they basically close in. And you are basically talking about blocking the whole river.
Mm.
Now, the thing is, the whole Texas flooding is, I think it's something that shocked everyone, including meteorologists. And, they just went like, Mother Earth is angry on this one. Because that's extraordinary.
Yeah.
Yeah. Getting back to the flood, basically, that also doesn't help you anyway. When it comes to food security, talking about agricultural projects, water levels that rise like that is not good for energy generation or agriculture. So, that's because that's a whole lot of water. It's going obviously going to cause millions, if not billions, worth of infrastructure damage.
Yeah.
And then most likely going to claim human life, like we saw that happen. And I think that around the same time, some parts of China also flooded. But the response now to the flood in terms of saving people, China beat them to it.
I mean, Hamoud, the
Mexicans had to come to, for the love of God, Justin.
This, and this is the weird thing there. If you ask, what was the reason behind that Texas flooding, for example? I know, dealer, since we were on desert hotspots, but we're also showing you the opposite of extremes in terms of, you know,
yeah, so none of them is good. Too much or too less.
Too much or too less. It indicates here that
then we are very picky. Yes,
the river that was the one flooding is known as the Guadalupe River in Texas. It rose 8 meters in 45 minutes.
Eight meters.
8 meters is higher than this roof level. This is at least 2.5 meters. Almost 3 meters, this. Now add in 5 more meters. The instance that they highlighted was primarily that there was a low pressure system that was occurred because of a very small tropical storm that happened in the Pacific area and one that happened in the, Texas is close to the Atlantic Ocean.
Is that a very small tropical storm?
Yeah. They cite it was a very quick tropical storm area, and then literally the system accumulated over central Texas. So whatever was happening with that very small tropical storm
mm-hmm.
on the sea, that pressure just floated over into land, and then it just went like, you know what, guys, let's have a rainfall party here, and everybody was just too happy to share rainfall. So they cited that it was excessive rainfall that happened over central Texas, and that is obviously, as you and I know, what water is looking for. Water looks for all the gravitational flow.
Just follow it all the way.
Follow it down.
Point.
They congregated in the river, and the river started flowing.
The river was like, you know what? I can't take this anymore.
I need to take this water somewhere. And unfortunately, they took it to the counties of Kerrville. The other one is Hunt. The other one is, yeah. It took all the way down to it.
Okay, so when you're looking at it from this report, you know, almost if not all, you know, all regions on the planet are actually having drought hotspots, but most of them can be found in the Mediterranean parts of Spain, Morocco, and Turkey. And impacts, you know, I'm so glad they changed that from Turkey to Turkey, because I kept confusing people. I talk about the country or the bed. Then you have the same problem that's Southeast Asia. We're talking about, Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. And the thing about, these parts of the world, like especially some parts of Asia, is that, most of them are swamps already.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most of them are swamps already. So, people have just figured out a way to live in this area. So that's why, they have a whole different engineering ways of building their structures, because, they don't have the type of dry land surface that we have to deal with here.
Yeah.
Yeah. In the same way that you see Middle Eastern countries have to, factor in loose sand every time that they set up their physical, you know, infrastructure, because most of what they have to work with is loose sand. Yeah. So then you have East Africa and one. So now they have to deal with two things, both flooding, excessive water, and no water at all. Huh. Welcome to Mother Nature. So you have parts of Mexico Mexico, Texas, that's not surprising, because, Mexico desert, there is basically a desert there. And countries like Namibia, and on the other hand also, it's not shocking anyone, because we literally have, we are sandwiched by two deserts. I have to deal with that.
The downside is, Helmut, I saw earlier. Okay, we got our ad break.
It's time to win your share of 500,000 Namibian dollars in prizes with Windhoek Beer. Find one of the 100% real quotes broadcast across Namibia on billboards, in stores, in newspapers, and on social media. Buy any Windhoek Beer, SMS the underliner code to 75050, or scan the QR code to enter on WhatsApp. So, spot a quote, grab a Windhoek Beer, and you could win. Windhoek, real beer for real people. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly. T's and C's apply.
Great news. Imba just got even better. We have added brand new features to make your experience smoother, faster, and more powerful than ever before. Ready to unlock the full potential of Imba? Get all exclusive features for just 36 Namibian dollars a month, or save even more with our special subscription plans. 5% discount for 3 months subscription, 10% discount for 6 months subscription, and 25% discount for 12 months subscription. Choose the plan that works.
Choose the plan that works. Welcome to, welcome back to Home Run. So we continue. Yeah.
So, okay. I partially lost track of the particular train of thought that I had. The other particular scenario, Helmut, that obviously stems from this, where we started off from, was the power station, the impact on renewable energy production. Okay,
you and so I. So not even renewable energy is safe.
Because you and I, we've already, you know, sort of like established the other fact as well.
Yeah.
None of us are Albania. We don't have just water standing about, and
on the surface now.
And we're not as tiny as Comas region. So with all that water just hanging about there, so we just, you know, deal with the particular realities that we've got. The factor of this means specifically that because of the discussions happening in, in this particular report, obviously speaks towards a picture of what was, because they are measuring 2023 into 2025.
Yeah.
They obviously have not factored in the announcement that our Prime Minister made a week and a half back in Parliament, before Parliament went on recess, or National Assembly went on recess, into September. Can you believe it, Ahmed?
I really want to work in the public sector.
Can you believe it? They go on a recess, bro. They literally just began the other day and then go into recess. Okay. Yeah, and they all go like, you know what, life's wonderful and all that other stuff. And I'm like, okay, great stuff. However, as we obviously sit here, you know, citing what was, the what was picture speaks of a potentially problematic scenario regarding how do you respond to something that impacts a cluster of countries in the same zone. So I'm mentioning a cluster of countries. Another particular thing was obviously the ability of nutrition, access to food, the food security conversation, and so forth.
Yeah.
NDB6 was obviously launched just on Monday, and obviously with much fanfare, because it was straight to the point. I also interviewed a whole bunch of economists in terms of understanding, you know, what does this translate to? But the overarching theme, Helmut, speaks about climate vulnerability. The report itself mentions it, or they go even more, what you call it, more, they zone in more on it, or get into more focus on it, and they call it drought vulnerability. So, we already have the issues, the areas, like you said, Namibia is a country with two deserts, straightforward. I saw a picture earlier today, from another particular meeting, of what the Kalahari looks like, bruh. Helmut.
Kalahari Desert.
Hey, it's just a few trees, but I can see that red sand there is shouting, you better not walk here barefoot. You don't think about wearing just flip-flops. You and me will be having a sort of like a true get-together, a personal in one-to-one meeting regarding what it feels like to become a human. A human kapana steak.
On a kapana, you know,
human braai steak, you know. And that is the reality that Namibians there on the eastern border with Botswana live with. That zone in itself is a harsh, dry zone itself. And then the other particular scenario is obviously that this report starts talking about the El Nino Southern Oscillation discussion. When I looked at this report, Helmut, and I saw that first part after the introduction, I was like, all of this, these problems that we find in Africa now, starts in the Pacific.
You know, I think, you know what, whenever we look at basically how the, you know, how natural things occur in terms of, you know, even if you look at weather, for example.
Yeah.
It just goes to show you how more like, makes you agree with, you know, with Neil deGrasse Tyson, who said, this earth doesn't support life.
Mm.
No. It's very good at creating life and then, you know, works on hunting to kill it.
Mm.
You know, everything that's not you wants to kill you, especially if you're in Australia. If you look at how things change, too much water is bad.
Mm.
Too less water is bad.
Mm.
So there's always this middle ground that basically, you know, there's this middle ground that will sustain life. Any shift from that, spells catastrophe.
Mm.
Now, for countries like Namibia, if you look at, for countries like Namibia that are sandwiched by deserts that can also expand if you factor in human activities, this spells more imminent trouble for us.
Yeah.
Yeah. And we are looking at, obviously by landmass, landmass to population ratio, we don't have a lot of things to worry about, but resources wise, we actually have a lot of things to worry about. Yeah. Especially if you factor in that we actually don't have to cut down all the trees for us to start experiencing a lot of trouble that comes with not having a lot of trees.
Yep.
All you just have to do is cut enough trees to cause an imbalance in the ecosystem and the food chain surrounding that environment. And then it starts to spell a lot of trouble.
And you know what's the puzzling thing? Any person would come and ask you, Helmut, what does cutting down of a tree or not cutting down a tree have to do anything with the rainfall?
Until you remember your water cycle.
Not just the water cycle. Until you see yourself floating about in the middle of the night, you know, on your bed as your house or your shack or whatever it was that you constructed with those, you know, trees and stumps floats by, you know, in terms of being an early sort of like a boat rafting profession, which you obviously didn't ask for. Because at the heart of it also is a notion in terms of drainage systems. Yes, I can talk about drainage, natural drainage to an extent, but there's also another extent in terms of certain particular elements help with absorbing certain particular pressures coming through from nature. As I mentioned that El Nino oscillation discussion, they've got a nice little explainer here, the two figures that are on page 8. Now, obviously, they speak about two different scenarios, two time frames of the year. They don't say which parts of the year. They don't say which years, but they cite, looking at two periods. So one is December to February, which is the figure one, or talking about temperature and precipitation.
Yeah.
And the other one is temperature and precipitation patterns that are typical of El Nino. The other one is temperature and temperature patterns typical of La Niña, the opposite of El Niño. Now, when there's...
That's Spanish, right?
Yeah, they're both Spanish. So when you have El Niño,
mm-hmm.
you're talking about the potential for someone in the southern hemisphere to experience below average rainfall. But when you have La Niña, you are talking about someone experiencing above average rainfall. That's not usually explained to many people trying to understand the global climate change discussion, because all you are being told is it's the fault of the oil companies, it's the fault of the big pharma, it's the fault of the deep state of the US, it's the fault of maybe Jeffrey Epstein. I don't know how that has to do anything with Namibia, but I'm just citing an example for you in terms of how some people try to outshout you in a discussion of logic based upon the evidences that you're presented with. So the evidences that we are presented with is obviously something that comes through from the North American or the Northern Meteorological American Association, this NOAA. They're the guys whose data this UN office uses. And some of the interesting things is that you see the opposites happening at two points of the year. December to February for La Nina, you find a super wet system in Southern Africa.
Yeah.
That dark blue, navy blue spot. And it literally, it pushes in through from the Pacific Ocean, December, February, heading into the, you know, the rest of it, obviously heading from Pacific Ocean, to Asia and Africa's direction, not heading this way to South America or crossing over into South America. When it gets to June and August of that same particular period when there's a La Nina focus, Helmut, the opposite picture pops up. Obviously, we will have our winter like this period. And what you would find over the whole of Southeast Asia is what is commonly known as the monsoon season. The monsoon season is the period just before they can harvest rice. So why is the crop of rice so important as a commodity in Asia? It's because they have to plant by specific time frame so that when the monsoon season comes, they don't have to pump water from a river or irrigate from underground water. All that natural rainfall that falls just goes and lies in the rice paddies and it just drains into the soil. So then the rice plant grows naturally. They worked out the helmet. It's one of the most, I almost said sexy, the word sexy, but it's one of the most impressive irrigation systems in the world to literally run by just
natural irrigation,
just natural rainfall. All you need to do is make sure that you've planted by a certain time before the rainfall shows up, which is aka the monsoon season. The monsoon season shows up and it just rains.
That spells a lot of trouble in, you know, with the climate change and the unpredictable weather patterns.
Yeah.
Oh.
But then the opposites also exist. For example, so when it's raining that much in South Asia, the opposite happens in Australia just right next to that system. Australia gets super hot.
It's Australia, so.
It gets super hot. Certain parts of Australia obviously rain. If you've got an El Nino system, reverses happen. For example, you get dry spells over Southeast Asia into Australia. You get partial rainfall over Australia in the middle of the year. For us, we just get warm and dry when it's El Nino in the December, February period. We are just warm and dry. Now, the downside here, which is actually a shared thing, is that La Nina and El Nino is not just about the southern hemisphere being impacted negatively. I mean, the picture is as clear as daylight here in terms of the two opposites, in terms of northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere being impacted. The only continent probably not negatively impacted by either one of these systems negatively is Europe. Europe, only Europe. Even Canada gets impacted by La Nina, at least, you know, excessive rainfall. Even El Nino impacts Canada and the US. But when you look at that picture over Europe and North Africa, there's no system that pops up there. There's no negative influence on Europe. Do you see?
No.
Do you see that there's no coloration? There's no highlighting spot.
Yeah, whether it's cool, wet, cool and dry,
yeah.
Cool and wet, warm, nothing. Dry, warm and dry, warm and wet, nothing.
Nothing for Europe.
The Indian Ocean, on the other hand, you may understand. Basically, Asia and South America and even the parts...
With either a non-alcoholic Heineken, Savannah, Vintook Original or Vintook Lemon. Let's cheers to connecting, to moments shared and good vibes, anytime, anywhere. Grab one of our great tasting non-alcoholic beers or ciders. Easy to connect, easy to enjoy. Not for persons under the age of 18. Enjoy responsibly.
Lipura nengeno wapumbwa eva tere ulikoni maondo tuto ingida ashike kapeno nwefu dite opoye ekukurile. Oshafa fana nongeshe faili mehola mo ihewe tike kovano ile koshiwana. Onongeshe fa ya pumbwa kukaraya kovano. Okupitira mo Eagle FM otuna evi toda njuka okukwetira oipindi konu konda doye inawa. Nune udo otukwetira o special ange tashake ngeshe fa omarude dayo loka. Opone ujendi fenawa nokumona oijamo ili nawa. Ninge pata fanona Monica ko Eagle FM onore tatuimwe mbali heavy nola natu heavy bali no heavy ile ko derewa nora hetatu natu bali o hetatu matatu o mafilane Eagle FM the eye.
Welcome back. Had to pay the bills just a minute past the hour of 6. And that brings us to the end of Home Run. But before we sign out, just a few things to point out there. Europe looks clear.
Yeah.
Yep.
Even the downside of just looking at that oscillation discussions. When you go and look at the themes in this report, they've got hunger, they've got surviving the drought, they've got what's the other theme's name? Hydropower that was impacted, they've got health impacts, they've got women and children, wildlife, even the Mediterranean, which is Europe in a way. All they can talk about is water supply in Morocco, agriculture impacted Morocco and North Africa, water supply, Turkey, partially, maybe. And then that's where it stops, agriculture. Literally, that's where it stops.
So it's not a rocket science then, because the biggest problem that comes with these reports is that every time there's a drought, you are looking at two major, problems.
Yeah.
Both of which cause a whole lot of trouble for basically all the living organisms in the area. One is that you don't have a lot of drinking water, which is why you find it in all, in all regions, more like drought hotspots that are labeled on the map is, that's on page 9. You see, from Panama, Panama, on the other hand, that spills into economic disaster because, shipping restrictions and delays, because that's where you find the Panama Canal.
Yeah.
That means that also, impacts the economic, global economic activities directly because of the Panama Canal. If they don't have enough water, they don't have, they can't allow, they cannot allow a lot of, shipping traffic the same way that they would if they had a lot of water flowing through the canal. And that's, if you have shipping restrictions and delays, it makes all your shipping very costly, and also the waiting period basically is going to be longer.
Hmm.
Yeah, and now, apart from Panama, which only seems to indicate shipping restrictions and delays as the major impact, from Amazon, you have the Amazon basin, parts of you're looking at Brazil, Colombia, and Venezuela impacts. You have drinking water there. That's a problem. One of the biggest problem listed there. And Southern Africa, you have Angola, Namibia, Zambia, Zimbabwe, and among other countries, including Malawi, Mozambique. You have drinking water. It's there. Eastern Africa. human lives lost in, just include drinking water. I don't know why they left that part out, because Somalia, Ethiopia, and Kenya. Because human lives lost, livestock deaths and famine displacement, drinking water is a huge problem.
Yep.
Yeah, and now you are looking at also Southeastern Asia, and this is Vietnam, Malaysia, Indonesia, Thailand. Drinking water, fresh water is a problem. It's basically the poem of water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink, becomes very literal in these terms. Because you have water, 70% of the earth is covered by the ocean, except that salty water, you can't drink it. If you drink it, you are going to die of thirst even more faster, because the salt is going to demand even more water for it to be diluted.
Yep.
Yeah. Drinking water also it becomes a problem because of the drought. So you have drinking water for the Mediterranean, Southeastern Asia, Mexico is the same thing. So wherever you have drought, you have less water. Hence drought. That's what literally, droughts are, that's what droughts are going to bring. Less water to drink, not only for people, but also for animals, both wild and domestic, living in that part of the, that part of the region. So that means it also disturbs the natural ecosystem, and it spills over. It starts spelling a lot of problems for the food chain. Yeah, the food chain. And one thing that was, one thing that was spelled out by, one thing that was that has always been spelled out, and I think scientists also find fascinating, is that a human being, just take a human being for example, only 43 to 45% of us, according to the World Health Organization, is made out of our cells. The rest, microorganisms. That means we are more microorganisms than we are human, which is odd. So we are an entire ecosystem that needs to be sustained.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's why we are, that's why if you have had tummy issues and you went to the doctor and your doctor went like, you have to eat this and this and this and this type of food so that you can support the gut bacteria you have in your stomach. Because, if they are not being fed the right food, they give you those type of tummy issues. So in other words, there are types of food that you must eat to sustain the gut bacteria that you have in your stomach for them to be as effective in helping with digestion, so that you don't have all kind of tummy issues. So in other words, what the doctor is basically saying is, maintain the ecosystem in the right way, then you are not going to have to deal with these problems. So, wait, what? I'm over 50% microorganisms. That's weird. That actually ruins French kissing. But anyway, 8 minutes into running away, which is why I'm rambling all that nonsense.
Look, access to water or drinking water has become one of the other particular natural battlegrounds, Helmut, because just like I explained to you the culling situation that took place in Namibia, just to feed rural communities or communities that were exposed to the harsh realities of climate change in a Namibian context, imagine other countries that are not as lucky as Namibia, that has a resource to work from and a resource that can work. Remember, that culling exercise for those wildlife was, I almost said organized, but it was done under the auspices of Ministry of Environment, who worked with a professional hunting organization that issued hunting licenses, for high value, if we can call them high value tourists, to fly in, pay those hunting licenses, and then engage in the culling exercise. So it was a mechanism of generating money and income for the sector, because at that stage there was a whole bunch of other NGOs and civil society guys going, citing, this does not look right. But on the other spectrum was that some of the other civil society and NGO organizations were quiet on this because they were consulted on this particular mechanism. So the balancing act in terms of in the world of or in the realm of us humans is one about what is the trade-off? If you're a policymaker, a government official person, you have to think about how to look after every citizen instead of thinking about, you know what, if you find yourself there in that bush, may God go with you. And then I'm in Windhoek, I'm in Otjiwarongo, or I'm in Okahania, I'm cool. I'm a disaster risk management or response government official. I don't have to respond there. But the opposite actually has taken place in Namibia. The same particular organizations, offices, agencies, ministries responded over there because they knew the citizens or residents living in the urban areas can look after themselves. They predominantly have access to money, or they have access to food, or they have access to shelter, or they have family that have access to these things that can procure these things on a daily basis.
Yeah.
So they knew the need was not as great in urban areas. The need was out of control in rural areas. And it becomes a balancing act. Yes, many taxpayers might then also debate, yeah, but I pay more tax. So is this a game about who owns, who has ownership through tax payment? It could be. I could be. I'm not trying to discredit the fellow Namibians, you know, that pay taxes. Good on you guys. Continue paying your taxes. You know, you're upstanding citizens. I will just end there.
You do realize you're doing that every time you buy something.
I know. VAT is there. All of that is there. Petrol, electricity.
All you just have to do is breathe.
Even if you go lay by a new pair of sneakers, it's there.
It is there.
Yeah, it's there.
Yeah, so drought basically caused a whole lot of issues, and there are places that are labeled, at least by the UN, that you know, that are considered a drought hotspots. We park the bus and run for our lives until tomorrow, same time, same place, on Eagle FM. And well, for those for my fellow morning, morning show guys, the NAMCO bail hearing continues again at 10 tomorrow. So, we are not going to, we are not going to be having a show and, you know, a morning show until further notice. But, you know, we'll just, we'll be listening to the, you know, we'll be listening to, you know, we'll be just to be more like, pitching in every time that they go on a break, because it's that important to, you know, for public interest, and the humor will always be a part of it. Until tomorrow for me, y'all have a good one.
And on my side, dear listeners, enjoy the rest of your programming in our company, and we'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place.